Let's just have a word of prayer first. Father, we do ask as we look at your word now that the things that you are wanting to say to individuals this morning or us corporately, we would hear what you're saying and respond accordingly. Father, we thank you that you are a living God and your word is living. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to understand and grasp and lay a hold of these truths this morning. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's just read from verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert. He will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to bear fruit. I want to speak this morning on trusting God. Very simple, trusting God. And this particular passage is just one of many we're going to be looking at this morning, but it brings up the stark contrast, the comparison between those who will put their trust in men or natural ability or the flesh and those who put their trust in the living God. I mean, the difference couldn't be starker. For the one, there is lack. For the one, there is a curse, the Bible calls it. But for the other, there is tremendous blessing, even fruitfulness, even in times of adversity. And of course, the context here is in difficult times. One will know prosperity and prospering and fruitfulness, but the other will not. So there's tremendous benefits in trusting God. We'll have a look at something more of that later on. But I want to first look at what this word means to trust. Because we often sort of confuse it and overlap it with faith. But the two are slightly different. To have faith is that it's a noun for a start, whereas when we are trusting, it's a verb. But the two obviously are linked. If you go to the Greek, we'll see that the word for faith actually has at its root the word in Greek for trust. So faith, which is the Greek word is pistis, is to have a conviction, a strong belief. But the word for trust is pitho, same sort of word I suppose, but to have confidence and to be persuaded. And I suppose, how do we link the two? And I suppose I read a good definition recently, and that is that trust is really faith in action, which I thought puts it quite well. And I suppose you all perhaps have heard the story of Blondin. I think I've certainly heard this once at least at Bethel, so I'll give it to you again. I don't know who told this before, but I'll tell it to you again. But Blondin was a French high wire artist, and he would walk across Niagara Falls on a rope that was strung from one side to the next. And he would do tremendous things on that rope. He'd stop once in the middle and cooked a pancake, apparently. Cooked an omelette in the middle. He would get a wheelbarrow, and he'd wheel the wheelbarrow across the rope with a sack of potatoes in. And he did this once, and all the crowds were cheering, and the crowds had absolute confidence. They saw this man. They knew that he'd get across. So he spoke to them. After he crossed with the sack of potatoes in the wheelbarrow, and he said, how many of you believe, actually before he did this, he said, how many of you believe that I can walk across this rope with a person in the wheelbarrow? They said, we all believe that.
Yes.
Okay, then can we have a volunteer to get into the wheelbarrow? Of course, nobody stepped forward because they weren't willing to trust to this man, even though they believed that he could do it. So trust is more than having a belief, it's actually committing to. There's a absolute confidence that we have in God, and that is what trusting God is. It's an absolute confidence in God, in his ability, in all that he is. It's our reliance upon him, total and absolute reliance upon our God. And of course, there's so many things we need to trust him in. And we're not going to look at this morning, but if you had to list the things that you need to trust God with, specifically, there's so many things. But ultimately, we're trusting him with our whole lives. We are entrusting ourselves to Him. We are trusting Him for our future. We are trusting Him for in our adversities, in the difficulties we're facing. We're trusting Him that He will fulfill every word that He's made and promised us. We're trusting Him in our service for Him. When we are looking for opportunities perhaps to share with others Christ. We don't dive in with natural ability, but we are trusting Him to be with us and enable us and grant us something of that. So there's so many areas, but I want to look this morning at two main things really. What does trusting involve, first of all, and then something of the consequences of that in our own life by trusting God. So, first of all, what does trusting God involve? It involves an act of the will. We need to choose to trust God. Nobody can do it for us. You and I have to choose that we're going to trust God. If God has said this in His word, I'm going to trust Him. If God is who He says He is, I'm going to trust Him. It's a matter of us exercising our will and choosing to trust God. So turn with me to 2 Chronicles 14. We're going to look at two people in particular during this time. The first one is King Asa. And we see two extremes with Asa. The first incident we're going to look at is when he put absolute confidence in God. And we see that Israel was being attacked by an army of Ethiopians, over a million strong. And this is what Asa said in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 13. Asa and the people who were with him, verse 11. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God, let not man prevail against you. So you as Asa, exercising his will, not only for himself, on behalf of the people, we are going to trust you. Actually, he was in such a place that he couldn't do much else. Because such was the opposition that coming towards him, that he couldn't trust in his own ability. There was nothing that Judah could do here to save and deliver themselves. They had to trust God. And so Asa did that. I say they couldn't do much. Well, actually, if we turn over a page in my Bible, in 2 Chronicles 16, Asa then, 20 years later, so the Lord gives peace to Judah for a good time. And in that time, they knew prosperity. They knew increase in many ways. And we find that Asa did a very foolish thing. Verse 7, this is now Asa now being attacked 20 years later. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied, so he's relied before on the Lord, but this time when he was attacked, he relied on the king of Aram, and have not relied on the Lord your God. Therefore, the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. There's tremendous loss in the life of a believer when we do not trust God. If we trust anything else or anybody else other than God or instead of God, then you can guarantee you will suffer loss. And that's what Asa found here. Instead of a tremendous victory for Israel, they suffered loss. They didn't have the victory over this enemy. And then he goes on, the prophet to Asa, were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans an immense army with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, because you trusted in God, because you put your confidence in God, God delivered you. Friend, that is the testimony down the ages of the saints. When we put our confidence in God, when we rely on Him totally and absolutely, then God performs all that's on His heart for us. God is able and willing to do that. But we have to put our trust in Him. You see, God could have given the victory to Asa over the second army any time He wanted. But God was looking for something from Asa. Would he continue to trust me? Even though it was still, just as when the Ethiopians attacked, it was a tremendously difficult situation he found himself in. But this time things were different. What had changed for Asa? Why was it that this time he did not trust? Well, I want to suggest several things. First of all, here was a man that was now living in great wealth. He'd experienced prosperity over the last 20 years. And we know from Scripture when that happens, there's a tendency in the human heart to look away from the Lord, to not depend upon Him, to not trust in Him. It's not necessarily going to happen definitely, but there's a greater tendency for that to happen. God warned Israel when they went into the promised land. He said, be careful, I know what's in your hearts. When you go in and you get all this prosperity, and I give you all this blessing, watch you don't deviate and move away from me. I'm paraphrasing it there. You can find that in Deuteronomy somewhere. But that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Now here we see Asa from a position where he trusted God, and God brought about a tremendous victory against impossible odds, to a position now where he did not trust God. Instead, he trusted in his wealth. He sent treasures, it says. We read the verses before. I read the verse 5 to 7. He used the treasures that he had. He brought them out. He sent them to the king of Aram. And he tried to buy his way out of trouble. We can do that as well, can't we, friends? When things happen that are difficult, we can try and buy our way out of trouble. Not necessarily with wealth, but with our own ability, our own ingenuity. Trusting in perhaps a person. Trusting in a method. Oh, that's something we like in Christianity, isn't it? We like to trust in methods. We like to trust in things that have worked in the past. And therefore we think the victory is in the method. There's no victory in any method, friends. Victory is in God. And in God alone. That's why it's so important that the believer lives day to day trusting God. Looking to God continually. Because in that there is victory. If God gives us a victory by a certain way, don't latch on to that as a method and then use that all the time through your life, because you'll soon get very disappointed and very disillusioned. But that is something that the natural man loves to do, and it is something that we've fallen for in Christianity down through the ages, where we latch on to certain things because they've worked once. We're going to be looking at David quite a bit in a moment in the Psalms. He was a man that learned to look constantly to God. Even when God gave a victory over the Philistines in a certain way, within a few weeks they came back at him again. Now he could easily have said, well, I'm going to do exactly the same thing because God gave me the victory. But no, he was a man that lived in relationship with his God, trusting God day to day. And therefore he looked to God, and God gave him a different method. And the victory, because he was trusting God. So, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1. I think this is one verse we're looking at in the New Testament. Because when God calls us to trust him, he often puts us in quite difficult positions. We see Asa put in a place of great difficulty. In one occasion he trusted, in another he didn't. But let's look at this verse here from Paul. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our afflictions which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. That's a good place to be, friends. To be burdened beyond our strength. So that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That's where God wants us to come to. That we're not in a place of trusting ourselves, but we are trusting in the living God. And God sometimes has to put us in a place that is quite difficult to bring us to that place. Particularly if we are very strong in ourselves. Some of us can be. And God has to put us in a place where it says there, we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. We couldn't do anything for ourselves. Now God would rather not do that, of course. He'd rather bring us there an easier way. But sometimes, I'm afraid, I know what I'm like, and he has to bring us the hard way. He has to take us through difficulties, trials, afflictions, to get us to the place that he's wanting to get us to. So that we will trust him in them. And it's in the trusting that God is able to perform things in our lives, do things that he wants to do. Well, we've read of David. Let's look at something else for David. Let's look at Psalm 40. We've got quite a few psalms, so if you stay in the psalms, you're probably not going to go far away from where we're going to be looking in the next 20 minutes or so. Psalm 40. See, it's wonderful. Just, we're going to look at quite a few psalms of David, because David was a man who knew what it was to trust God, to put his confidence completely in God. He did that because quite often God put him in places where he couldn't do anything else. But then, even when he could, he chose to put his trust in God. I'll give you an example in a second. But let's have a look what he wrote here. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of this pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will put their trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, as not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. So David was a man who knew that the way of blessing was to trust in God and to God alone. David knew that. He experienced that. That was part of his experience. Is that part of your experience this morning? Are you trusting God day to day, friends? Are you looking to him on a daily basis? Or is it just occasionally you might turn to God and sort of express something of a need of him? God is wanting to trust him daily. You see, David was put in tremendously difficult positions. His life was in danger on many occasions as Saul was chasing him. And yet God rescued him. God gave him victory over the Philistines, even before he was king. And you know what? God then put him in an amazing place. God brought Saul to him. God brought Saul to David. Now, God had promised David that he would be king one day. Just think about that. David knew that he was destined to become king. He had that witness within. He had the anointing of Samuel as a young child, as a boy. He knew that he would be king. And so God brings Saul to him on two occasions. Once in a cave, Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, it says. And the men that were with David said, God has delivered Saul into your hand. Put a sword in him now. Put a spear in him now. Deal with him now. Do away with him now. And David had the opportunity to get out of his affliction, his difficulty, his problems. And yet he said, no, I won't do it. In other words, I'm going to trust God. He kept trusting God. He could have taken it into his own hands. He could have put his trust in his men, in his own ability to put that sword into Saul. But he didn't. He kept trusting God. He knew that if God had promised to make him king, God would do it in his time. And if he was to take any shortcut, he would miss out on much in his life. He would miss out on experiencing something more of God's greatness in his life. God's chesed, we've been singing about it and praising God for that this morning, God's loving kindness. Just experiencing more of God in his life. He would have missed out on so much if he had taken that shortcut. David put his trust in God completely. He did not seek to take any shortcuts whatsoever. So friends, before we move on, what other things that are involved we'll come to in a second. But just a couple of other things we're not to put our trust in. The Bible talks about very clearly about not trusting in idols, in mammon. Well, today, what's an idol for us? It's wealth, isn't it? And the Bible says one or two things about those who put their trust in idols. We haven't got time to look at these this morning, but Psalm 135 and Isaiah 42 both mention these. Those who put their trust in them, in idols, will become like them, will be like them. That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? What does it mean to become like your idol? Well, what is an idol? It's something that can't see, it can't hear. That's exactly what you will become like spiritually. You won't be able to see God. You won't be able to hear him if you put your trust in an idol of any kind. If you are trusting in anything this morning other than Jesus Christ, you will be blind and deaf to him and his voice. What else is an idol like? It's lifeless. If you're putting your trust in an idol, you will be lifeless. There'll be no spiritual life in you. It's also under God's judgment. When God judged Egypt, those 10 plagues, each time he was judging an idol in Egypt. idols and the demons behind them, because there are powers behind them, are under the judgment of God, under the wrath of God. They will come into that full judgment one day. And by allying ourselves to an idol, whatever it is in this modern day, we bring ourselves under the same judgment. So it's a sobering thought. Be careful not to put your trust in riches, not to put your trust in man, in anything other than the living God. And then one other thing I want to read to you, Proverbs 20, one other thing that we can trust. And it's something in this present day and age we are encouraged to do all the time. And I think Simon might have touched on this last week. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. And just listen to this if you want to. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Aren't we told by society around, follow your heart. Follow your heart if you want to find fulfillment. Well, friends, the Bible has very clear things to say about the human heart. We didn't read Jeremiah 17, the verse that I stopped that, but the very next verse says this. The heart is more deceitful above it than anything else. A heart, our own hearts, are tremendously deceitful and wicked. And if we put our trust in our own hearts, we're asking for trouble. Now, we do have a new heart in Christ, and that's what we put our trust in him. But he's given us a new heart that is of his Spirit. So that, of course, we can follow that leading, the leading of the Spirit in our new hearts, if you like. Okay, moving on. Well, what else is involved in trusting God? Proverbs 3, verse 5, these are well-known verses. I'll just read them to you. But we're in Proverbs, you want to turn back there, you can. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's a very well-known verse. I'm sure everybody in this congregation this morning has heard that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We cannot trust in God with a divided heart. We cannot trust in God with a half heart. It won't get us anywhere, friends. God is looking for one thing and one thing only. Wholehearted trust in him. So we can't be a little bit like, you could think of examples, I'm sure, but just think of Abraham, I suppose. He trusted God in one sense. He believed God. He's a friend of God. But then when God promised him he'd have a son, but then he put his trust in his own ability to contrive and to bring about something of his own son by having a son with Hagar. And then we know what happened from there on. So we have to trust God completely. Half-hearted trusting God is not going to work, friends. It'll lead to problems. It will lead to us trying to find our own way and do our own thing. You see, that passage goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The Lord wants us to trust him in all our ways, to acknowledging him in them all. And what will happen then? He will make your ways, your paths straight. Isn't that marvellous? God wants us to walk in a straight way. That's the path that God has for us. And that's the way we can come into it if we put our trust in God completely. Moving on. Three. We'll just do a couple more of these and then we'll look at some of the consequences. Psalm 9 verse 10. We'll look at mostly the Psalms from now on. Psalm 9 and verse 10. And again, so we're looking at what trusting in God involves. The next thing I want to mention is this. Psalm 9 verse 10. The Lord, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. Who said that? It's our friend David again. See, David knew what it took to trust God. He was not going to trust someone he didn't know. And isn't that true of us? We're not going to trust someone we don't know. Every year at school, I have to make a decision on appointing a house captain, a housemaster at school. I have to make a choice of a house captain from the senior boys. And people will suggest certain names. Oh, he's such a good person. He's trustworthy. But I don't know him, so I can't really trust him. But then there'd be one, perhaps, that I know. I've had dealings with him down through the school, and he's reliable, he's trustworthy, he's a good person. That's the person I'm going to go with. That's the good person I'm going to put my trust in. because I know him. I know his character. I know what he's like. I can trust him. How much more with God? If we are not developing our relationship with the living God, how are you going to trust him? It'll all be academic. When it comes to the crunch, you won't trust him. You look elsewhere. You see, David put his trust in God because he knew the name of the Lord. And that means he knew God's character. When we talk about the name of God, we're talking about his character. We're talking about an experiential knowledge. David knew his God in his experience. Do you this morning? Do you know God in your experience day to day? Are you seeking to develop that relationship with him? If you're not, you could easily be caught out. Because David knew that the only way he would put his trust in God was that if he knew what God was like. So those who know your name, do you know the name of God this morning, friends? Do you know his character for yourself? Have you experienced his chesed in your life? His mercy, his tender care, his correction. Have you experienced these things? Well, God wants you to experience them. He wants you to know him in relationship. Because it's in relationship that we trust. We're not going to trust someone we don't know. We have to know this God, friends. And the wonderful thing about our God is that he is a God who can be known. He's not like the so-called gods we see around us. They cannot be known. They're not real. They're not living. There's no life in them. Our God is the living God. He can be known. He wants to be known. And he will be known by those who put their trust in him. So friends, let's make it our task that we know him more and more. So that we can indeed put our trust in him. Moving on. We need to know his word as well. You see, if we don't know God's word, and in fact, you can't divorce God's word from his character. You can't know God without knowing his word, because God reveals himself primarily through the word. If you are ignoring the word of God, I am absolutely certain your experiential knowledge of God is pretty low. But the more we put our trust in God, the more we get into his word, the more we will be able to trust him. Because we will see things in God's word about his character, about him, about his promises, about what he wants to do for us. And God will quicken that. He'll seal that to our hearts. He'll put that on our hearts. And we will trust him then. So friends, we need to know his word as well. And one further thing, the time's moving on. We also need, what else is involved in trusting God? Well, I would say one other thing, it's patience. We have to be patient with God. God isn't going to rush to fulfill his purposes for you and me. God has his own agenda, and he's not going to change that for Michael Jenkins or anybody else. He's not going to change it because we are going through a difficult time or because something has happened that we don't understand. God has a plan. And we have to trust him with the plan for our lives. And therefore patience is vital. Patience is vital. Don't come up to me and ask me to pray for patience after, because I might do what David Pawson did when someone came to ask him to pray for patience. You might have heard this story. Someone came to him once and said, a lady after, said, Pastor, pray for me, I need more patience. He put his hand on her head and said, Lord, give this woman tribulation. Stop, she said. What do you mean? Well, there's a verse in scripture that says, of course, tribulation brings patience. So that's why he was praying for that. So be careful what you ask to be prayed for. We need patience, but the Lord's able to grant that to us. Okay, moving on. I want to look just in closing, really, at something of the consequences of trusting. Because even though we're not coming into the fulfillment of all God's purposes, perhaps at the moment in our life, perhaps we are, there are things that God will be doing in us because we're trusting him. Trusting him has great benefits for us as believers, even when we're not yet arriving at the end point. So let's have a look at one or two of those. Psalm 40, we read, let's go back to Psalm 40. Actually, Psalm 28 first, let's go in order. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength. This is another psalm of David. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart exults and with my song I shall thank him. One of the consequences of trusting God is you will be rejoicing. You will be rejoicing because you will see God acting on your behalf. David knew God helping him. Yes, he knew tremendous affliction and difficulty, but he also knew tremendous joy and the rejoicing that comes with seeing God acting on your behalf. There's nothing greater, there's nothing more thrilling to the believer than see God acting on our behalf. What a thrill that is, to know that the living God, the God who made all things, is interested in me and you and is acting on our behalf. He wants to do things in us and for us. And David knew this, so because he trusted God, he was able to rejoice in his God, because God helped him. And then Psalm 40, just over a few pages. You see, one of the other things that happens is when we are trusting God, God is acting on our behalf. He's giving us a testimony. He's giving us a testimony. And it says there in verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will put their trust in the Lord. What a wonderful evangelistic tool that is. When we are trusting God, God is working on our behalf. We have a testimony. We proclaim it. Others see it and put their trust in God. It's so simple, isn't it? In one sense. That's the way God wants us to work. He wants us to have a testimony that he's at work in our lives as we trust him, so that others can trust him as well. Others can see what he's doing. And as we look through scripture, the times that we read of occasions when those of God's servants who put their trust in God and others were affected by it, just think of some. What about Daniel? What about Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego? What a testimony those three men had. King Nebuchadnezzar was totally transformed and changed by these four men because of their trust in God. Even when it could have cost them their lives, they said, those three men, we will not bow to that idol. Our trust is in our living God, is in our God. He can save us if he wants to. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow. Absolute trust in God's providential care. I just wonder whether I would have that. By the grace of God only. Because it's not in us, is it, naturally? Only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. They trusted God. And of course, there are those in Christianity that lose their lives regularly by putting their trust in God. So putting our trust in God is not a safeguard, it says. God might call us home. And I'm just hearing, I mentioned this to a brother the other day, a testimony on television of Canon Andrew, I think it's Andrew White, it's the vicar of Baghdad, good man, just saying the story of a brother in Egypt, and ISIS were there in Iraq, and he was in Iraq at the time. Or was it Egypt? Sorry, one of those two. I'm not absolutely sure. I think it's Iraq. He was Iraq, Baghdad. Yes, it's Iraq, isn't it? And the ISIS came, and they said to him, one of his flock, if you don't bow the knee and confess Allah as God, we're going to kill your four children. And he did. He did. And he came the next day to the vicar and he was in tears. He said, I betrayed God, he said. Well, the canon was very wise and sympathetic and said, look, God, you can repent of this. This isn't the unforgivable sin. And so he encouraged him, you know, to go back to God and say sorry and put things right. Well, the next day they came back again, the ISIS, and they said to the four children, bow the knee and confess Allah as God. And the four children said, we won't do anything to hurt our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And they were beheaded, all four of them. And of course, Canon Andrew White didn't know what to think when he came back the next day, the father, and told them what had happened. But wonderfully, wonderfully, there's a tremendous end of the story, because a couple of children in the place where he was looking after the children had a dream that night. And the two children said they saw the four children dancing with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? that this isn't the end, friends. We put our trust in God for this life, for eternity. So trusting in God is not a guarantee that we won't lose our lives. In some parts of the world, it's almost a guarantee you will lose your life. But this life is not the end. It's a far greater thing that we're going to. This life is so temporal, it's so transient. Children, listen. This is transient. This is temporal. Our lives are over in a moment. The Bible says this life is like a mist. Our lives are like a mist, gone like that. And those four children put their trust in the Lord Jesus for eternity. And they're in a better place than we are this morning. Moving on. Consequences of trusting. Okay, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, another Psalm of David. Surprise, surprise. Verse 10 of Psalm 32. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing that the hesed of God, the mercy of God, the love of God surrounds those who put their trust in him. That doesn't mean we're immune from attacks and whatever. But the mercy and the love of God surrounds us. And nothing can get through that except that his will. Except he allows it. And oh, friends, to know the mercy of God in our lives day by day. It's wonderful, isn't it? We don't deserve a thing. Yet God pours out his mercy upon us. Day to day. So the loving kindness of God, that steadfast love of God, surrounds those who put their trust in him. Put your trust in anything else, and you will forfeit that. You won't know his love as you should. 2 Samuel 22 verse 31, we won't look at that, talks about God being a shield to those who trust him. Again, that surrounding, that protection of God. Nothing can get through except he allows it. Isaiah 30 verse 15. In repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. There's an inner strength that God gives us when we trust him, friends. Do you want to know a greater inner strength? Well, there's only one way we're going to come into that. If we are trusting God with everything. Trusting him day to day. Trusting him with our lives, our families, with our work, with everything. Put our trust in him. And we will know that strength that he gives by his Spirit. God wants to do that. So there's a strength in trusting. It's not a position of weakness, friends. It's not a position of weakness. The world might think it is. But there's a tremendous strength in trusting. Those four children trusted God with their lives. It was a position of strength. Not a position of weakness. And who knows how that might have affected those that did that terrible deed. It's a position of strength, friends, when we are trusting God. And we are saying to God, like Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, I will trust you, Lord, no matter what. It's a position of strength. And how many martyrs have God used over the years to bring about revival, to bring about change of life, to bring about salvation for others? Just think of Stephen and Paul. What God did there with Paul. Isaiah 26, move back a couple of chapters please, we're almost finished. Isaiah 26. Verse 3, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Friends, if you want to know a peace in your heart and your life, We have to put our trust in God in all the situations we find ourselves in, but particularly when things are difficult, particularly when we're going through the mill, particularly when we're facing affliction and trials. If we don't put our trust in God, then we won't know the peace of God. But when we trust Him in the difficulties, when we are saying, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm trusting You, and we're looking to Him in prayer, that's part of trusting, we're calling on Him, we're trusting Him in that, then we can know the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's a strength in that as well, friends, isn't there? And that steadfast of mind, that's translated in its various ways, because the only words there in the Hebrew are the meditation, the established, the word steadfast is established in the Hebrew, and the word mind, really meditations and thoughts. So the mind that stayed on God has been translated, the thoughts of God and towards God in another version. So it really is the meditations, our thoughts on God. And we need to get our minds, our thoughts fixed on Him, don't we? We need to get them. And that's why it's so important that we spend time daily in the Word of God. Because that takes our minds and our thoughts away from what we see around us. And all that we're bombarded with daily from the world, it gets us to that higher plane, to where the Lord is. To see things from His perspective. And those who put their trust in Him can know that perfect peace, it says. Isn't that marvellous? God wants us to know the perfect peace. Not just any old peace. Not just a good peace. But the perfect peace that passes all understanding. That's ours in Christ, friends, as we trust Him. Even when we don't understand what's happening. Even when we can't be sure of what lies ahead. We can trust Him and know His peace. And then finally, Jeremiah, I won't go back here, but Jeremiah 70, I mentioned this earlier. The other thing that happens when we are trusting in God is we can know fruitfulness in our lives. Even in a time of drought or famine, it says. Even when things are difficult, we can know fruitfulness. If we are putting our trust in Him. If we are saying, if we are putting our confidence on Him, in Him. If we are relying upon Him in everything. If we are doing that, then we will know a fruitfulness in our lives. So friends, I ask you and myself the question, are we trusting Him in all things? Is He our confidence this morning? Are we relying on Him? Or are there other things coming in and vying for that confidence and that trust? Be careful. Let's put our trust fully in Him. Because in doing that, we will know all these things. And we'll have a testimony at the end of it that God has done this. Let's pray. Father, we want to tell You this morning that we regard You as someone who is absolutely trustworthy. And we're so sorry when our trust in You isn't what it should be. Forgive us, Lord, but we cry to You that even in all that we're facing, some of us, we will put our trust in You fully. Father, help us to trust You. Help us to have a confidence in You. Help us to know Your name. Help us to make that a priority, that we will seek to know Your name, to know You more and more, so that we can indeed trust You and know You active in our lives in increasing ways. Lord, we thank You that You're the living God, and we thank You that you have our best interest at heart. Lord, we thank You for Your hesed, that loving kindness, that is toward all those. It surrounds us if we are trusting in You. Lord, we want to thank You. And we bless You. Amen.